EV 20 Questions Podcast. Hello there, this is Dave Allen, and this is the second episode of the EV 20 Questions Podcast. And today we're talking to Paul Shadwell, who lives in Switzerland, and he's got a Tesla and he's got a Renault Zoe. I'm going to be getting this Leaf soon. It's going to be April by the time I get it, because it'll be a long time before they're coming into Europe. Well, quite a lot have been delivered in the UK because I'm in the making them there, so I can't wait, but I'm impatient.
Well, I had to wait for the Tesla almost a year, so.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I thought about the Model 3, but too long to bloody wait. I mean, it'd be 2 years really before I want to get one of those as possible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're not, I mean, they're delivering in US now, but yeah, US gets priority.
Yeah.
So as they're made there anyway. Which is actually a good thing, because it means that all the Americans get to iron out all the bugs before anybody else gets them.
Yeah, it seems like there's one or two there with it.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Tesla is that they do update on a regular basis, and it's whereas most other manufacturers, for example, the Zoe we have has only been updated twice since we've had it.
Yeah.
And they don't really announce that there's been an update. Yeah. So, but with the Tesla, it just pops up on the screen saying an update is available if you want to install it now. It's like the iPhone.
Yeah. Much. Nice, that, isn't it? I think with the Leaf, nice. they don't do the over the air updates with the Leaf either.
No. It seems that the big general car manufacturers haven't got that concept thought about. Although, watching that VW thing that they did on Fully Charged sounds like they're thinking about it, at least.
Okay, then let's get on with some questions for the podcast then. So, first question is, how long have you been an EV driver?
I bought the Zoe, that would have been in 2013.
Okay, so quite a while then.
So it was my girlfriend was looking for a car, and she wanted a Renault, because she had a Renault before. She had a minibus. So we went to the Renault dealer to see what was available, and we saw this Zoe and said it was electric, and, oh, that looks interesting. I wonder if we can get a test drive. And they said, no, well, if you come back in a couple of days. And, oh, okay. So then we started to leave, and they said, oh, no, there's one just arrived back. You can take that one for a test drive. And we went out for about 30 minutes in it, and I absolutely loved it. It was very nippy, such a small car, extremely quiet. I was a bit concerned about going uphill. About a week later, we took another one. We found another dealer closer to home. And we took it up the hill behind our place, which is it's quite a steep, windy, Swiss-style road going up behind where we live. So I drove it up there, and it accelerates up the hill, which is unheard of, I thought, anyway. So
that's one of the things I'm looking forward to with this Leaf I'll be getting as well, because the car I've got now, the Clio, it's quite underpowered. I mean, it's great for me because just going to work and stuff, but if you've got a few people in the car, going up hills is terrible.
Yeah, you think an electric car would be the same, but yeah, that's not the case. That's absolutely not the case. And after having that a while, I thought, because the range is great for going to and from work, or just taking, you know, short day trips. But if you want to go further, then obviously you need the charging network. And at that time, there wasn't much around locally where we were, although, you know, I have a charging point at home. So we charge it up overnight with no problem. So I looked to see what else was available for better range. And that's when I discovered that the Tesla does 500, up to 500 kilometers on a single charge. That looks interesting. Oh, there's a Tesla dealer in Zurich. Let me go and ask them. So I took P80 at that time. The P85 was out, so that was the single motor at the rear performance model. And wow, that was incredible!
Tell me, does it have ludicrous mode?
That one didn't. No, the ludicrous mode didn't come out until I think last year, or the year before. At that time, this was back in, say, towards the end of 2013. We took the test drive. I had a few test drives actually. And I was looking at the P85, and there is an 85, which is a non-performance single motor. And when I ordered it, I ordered a P85 because I thought it'd be nice to have the performance. And then the D models were announced. And there's a D85 or P85D, or the 85D, and those are the choices. And the 85 stands for the kilowatt hour of the battery.
Yeah.
And I decided to go for an 85D. It was a bit cheaper than the, quite actually about 20,000 francs cheaper than the P85D. So it made sense to go for that model. The performance was, when I ordered it, 5.6 0 to 100, 5.6 seconds,
mm-hmm.
which for a standard saloon car was quite good.
So you get people in the car then, you give them the EV smile.
Yeah, so even on the 85D, which is the one I have, you still can, you can, gives you a kick up the backside when you, when you floor it, it's great. It's really, really amazing.
So what made, I mean, it was just the girlfriend liked the Renaults, that made you go for the Renault Zoe then, was it?
Yeah, we ordered it. We got it. We got a good deal on that particular one. We got a black one. We were looking for a black one. There was lots of other colors. There weren't that many colors, but the black was the nicest one. And we have done a couple of long trips. I've actually driven mine down to Bad Ragaz, the Zoe down to Bad Ragaz, which is about 100 kilometers. So it was close to the limit of the range. But the hotel we were staying at had a, we could charge up. And it was parked for the weekend anyway, so didn't matter. The car was fully charged by the time we ended the weekend.
And did you go for the leasing of the battery or buying it outright?
When we got that, there was the only choice was leasing. So you lease the battery as a separate entity. Now you have the choice. You can buy the battery outright, or you can lease the battery. Yeah. On the Tesla, there's the batteries is part of the car, so there's no concept of leasing the battery separately.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the Renault for a while there, but there's a couple of things about the Renault that I'm not so keen on. I mean, it doesn't have CarPlay for a start off, does it?
No, it has the Renault. I can't remember what they call it, but yeah.
Yeah, but the Renault thing, I mean, I've got it in the Clio and it's rubbish. I mean, it just doesn't work with the telephone very well.
Yeah, the biggest complaint I had with the Renault in Switzerland is that there's on the GPS, there's a point of interest option where you can say, show me the nearest chargers. Doesn't work in Switzerland. So that's completely useless. So I've got an app on the phone that shows me where all the chargers are, so that's good.
Yeah, do you have a favourite app that you use for finding the chargers? Because there's quite a few available, isn't there?
Yeah, there are a few. I think there's one that I use where you can, when you sign up and when you sign in and then you say that you're at a charger, you get points and stuff like that. So it's a bit like Foursquare. If you remember Foursquare?
Yeah.
Where you could be the mayor of a charger. This app does that. I'll look it up in a second. I'll show you, tell you which one it was.
They still do that. And the Swarm as well, they're called, isn't it? That,
yeah, exactly, yeah. But that's one of the great things about the Tesla, because on the Tesla, it shows you where all the superchargers are.
Yeah.
So when you, and we've done a lot of long drives. I've driven to the UK, down to the south of France, up to the north of Holland with it. And you put in the route, and then it routes you through all the superchargers.
Yeah.
Not all of the superchargers, but the ones that are obviously on or near the route, and it tells you how long you need to be there to charge up to get to the next one.
Yeah, come in like the superchargers or other places, when you could go all the way up to Norway, couldn't you, with the superchargers?
Yeah, they have them all the way up to Nordkap now.
Yeah, there's not too many in Spain.
No, but I see that this year there's a lot of schedule to be Spain and Portugal.
Okay.
Because Portugal was right at the edge of the limit, but I see there's schedules to. If you look on the Tesla website, they have a map with all the chargers on, and shows you where the ones are being expected to be delivered.
Yeah. Well, while I'm waiting for this leaf to be arrive, I've been looking at a few sort of charging apps. To see where the chargers are, and mm-hmm. Spain around the coast is not bad. If I want to go to Madrid, though, that's a bit of a problem because I wanted to go from here to Lleida, to Zaragoza, and then from there down towards Madrid. And from Zaragoza to Madrid, there was nothing. And I just wouldn't be able to do the trip unless I was able to say, maybe sort of ring up some information bureau along some little towns along the way and see if they've got something. But there's nothing on the maps.
Well, you know, you can charge from a normal socket, of course. It takes a lot longer. But, you know, wherever there's electricity, as long as you've got an adapter, and I always recommend that you get the relevant adapters for each type of charging socket, you could charge anywhere as long as it's got a socket you can plug into.
I still have to go and find somewhere. I could ask, say, can I plug in there, please, and charge my car up?
But I think, Nissan have dealers over there? You can actually go to a dealer and charge?
Yeah, I can call into dealers, but on this particular one stretch of road, I think it's the A2, in between Zaragoza and Madrid, there's nothing. I've looked at a few different charging applications, Next Charge, Plug Share, Charge Map, and the only way that I'd be able to do it is if I went down the coast as far as near to Valencia, and then cut across from Valencia across, which wouldn't be too many more kilometres, but same time as going, it is going out of the way a little bit, you know.
Strange. I thought they had electricity in Spain by now.
Well, they got one or two plug sockets here and there, you know.
I'm just looking at the apps I have. I've got one called Open Charge Map.
Yeah. I have that one as well.
Yeah. Plug Share, you just mentioned.
Next Charge looks quite good. It's got an itinerary thing where you can set where you want to go to. And then what it does is that it gives you a couple of different choices of route. You choose which route you want, and then the first one, you click on the stop button, and then you say where you want to stop in between where the stop is, which gives you your range from, you know, it assumes you're 100% for the first leg of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose the charging point, and then it do the next one, and then it says how far you go with 80% of your battery to the next point. So the ones in between, it goes 80% down to zero. And obviously it's recommending that you're charging up again before you get down to 10%. And I set up a trip just to an itinerary, see how it would work out from here to Paris. And it was doable. It was possible.
Yeah, we've been to, that's one of the trips we did last year, was to Disneyland Paris with the Tesla.
So what about in Switzerland? I mean, have you a good charging system around there? Or maybe you don't need it because you can charge at home and just get all across Switzerland with it?
I can. There are plenty of superchargers, and there are actually quite a lot of commercial chargers as well. So most of the it's coming more and more prevalent now is the ability to charge up at a service station on the autobahn.
Okay.
So there's a few of those. There's also a lot of the supermarkets. IKEA now also has. So if we go shopping in IKEA, I drive in with my Tesla and we're directed to the charging spot, which is really nice. And you can charge up for free while you're in the shop. My girlfriend's been there with the Zoe and forgotten her cable, but they've given her a cable to plug in. So that's good.
Well, that's looking after you, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a few supermarket chains there that are providing charging facilities. There's a lot of hotels. We went down to the south of France, just the other side of Saint-Tropez. There's it's a holiday camp place right on the Mediterranean, and they have Tesla destination chargers.
Okay, there's a few of those around Spain.
Yeah, so. And they show up also on the Tesla map, and if you're using the map within the car, you can also use those. The destination chargers, you can also plug into other cars as long as they have a Type 2 connector, which the Zoe has.
Yeah. Tell me, with the home charger there, do you have just the one charger for the two cars, or do you have to put two in there?
No, we just had the one. We had one installed for the Zoe when we bought the Zoe. Cost about 800 francs and another 500 to have it installed. The guy did a really nice job of it. And because the connector on the Zoe and the Tesla are identical, we can charge both cars, obviously not at the same time, but when there's the Tesla doesn't need charging up that often. So I can go 4 days back and forth to Zurich from home, which is about 30, 40 kilometres each way. And that will that'll run on a full charge for 4 days without needing to charge up again.
Okay, that's cool, that is. So what was it like the first time you did a long journey? I mean, were you sort of worried about when you was going off there, if you're going to sort of make the charges or run out of juice, or did you have range anxiety at all?
No, I never did, actually. Probably more in the Zoe, because we did one long trip and we had to find a charger. And we were almost on the limit, and then we discovered that the only charger that was available was back up the motorway. We'd just come down, and we got there with just enough juice. So that was the only time that it's been an issue. But when we're in the Tesla, there's no problem at all. There's now so many superchargers, at least. We can go and charge up on any of the routes we've taken so far. They're usually minimum 200 kilometers, or maximum 200 kilometers apart. Most of them are much closer than that. And it will tell you how long you need to charge. But when we do long trips, we have the whole family. So when we stop, have a coffee or something to eat, baby needs to be changed or whatever. And by the time we've done all that, the car's charged up fully again anyway, even though it said we only had to be there 10 minutes to get enough to get to the next one.
That sounds really good, that does. So tell me, what's the best thing about each of your cars there? I mean, is there something particular that's special, that's really good about your Tesla that you really love?
Oh, there's a lot of things. Living in Zurich, we don't pay road tax for electric vehicles. So that's
same here in Spain.
Okay. Oh, it's in Switzerland, it's by canton. So, for example, where I was living before, last time I spoke to you, I was still living in a place called Spreitenbach. And that's in the canton of Aargau. And Aargau, electric vehicles are taxed the same way as normal cars. It's a bit of a pain. So I was quite happy to move to Zurich. Then we don't live very far from the Tesla service station. So we're about 20 minutes away from the Tesla service station. So if there's any issue, I've always gone there. I get excellent service. They have Wi-Fi there. So if there's, like when I got new tyres, so I took it in for new tyres and I was able to sit and work in their little waiting room whilst they did that. But for the car's perspective, the Model S had a lot of storage, so you know, a lot of luggage space, so it's great for that. It's spacious, it's quiet, it's quick. I love the fact it has TuneIn and Spotify, so I can listen to any music I want, and I also listen to podcasts with it a lot. So my journey to work, and probably the best thing is when I go to work and if there's traffic, I just stick on the autopilot and let the car drive me in on the freeway.
That sounds really good, that does. And how good a job does it do?
On the freeway, great. But yeah, country roads is a little bit sketchy because it relies on being able to see the white lines on the roads. And over the time with each update that they've done, so they've put a little bit more restrictions in. And I think mostly because of Americans who are trying to push the limits of these things. The autopilot does lane, it keeps you in the lane. It will go around the corners with no issue. It'll actually decelerate if it's a sharp corner automatically.
Oh, that's nice.
It has traffic aware cruise control, which means that it will follow the vehicle in front, and if the vehicle in front slows down, obviously you slow down in plenty of time. You can specify how far away from the vehicle in front you want to be.
That's one of the things I'm looking forward to, the Leaf does that as well.
Yeah, so I've seen some of the Leaf stuff. There's actually a good YouTube channel, guy called Bjorn
Nyland,
that's the guy. Yeah, I met him. He was driving around Europe towards the end of last year with his Model X that he won, and he turned up in Zurich. And I'm actually on one of his videos.
Oh, excellent! You're famous.
No, I don't know about that. But so I met him. He's got some test videos in the Leaf as well.
Yeah, I saw him doing. There was in Tenerife. And he managed to win that scooter by doing the best deco drive back from the Tado Mountain, which was pretty good going. Yeah, so that's pretty good. Anyway,
He does quite well, doesn't he? He's won a Roadster as well. I'm so jealous.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, don't just hate these people.
Yeah.
In the nicest possible way.
I mean, I have a referral code for Tesla, but nobody's taken it.
Well, if I buy a Tesla, I shall talk to you before I do, all right?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
What's the thing that you'd like to see most changed to give you a better experience of driving electric vehicles?
Good question. I'm pretty happy with the situation at the moment. I think looking forward to seeing what the how far autopilot can go. My lease on my current Model S is up next year. So we'll probably look at, I'd like to get a Model X. That's my goal.
With a family, it'd make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Model S is great for the family too. It's big. So whenever there's four of us when we travel distance. So. Yes, the X would be nice. And because my girlfriend prefers to sit higher up when she's driving. She drives the Tesla with no problem, but she would prefer something a bit higher up. And I think by the time I get the Model X, it will be because they enhance it almost by a month-by-month basis. So each model that comes off the production line has the latest features. So by the time I get to getting a Model X, it will have the latest and greatest features. So maybe by that time, this time next year, they'll be fully autonomous. I mean, that's what they're threatening. So we'll see. I know all the equipment is there to do it. It's just the software at the moment doesn't allow it.
What about the Renault Zoe? Is that the same one that you started with, is it?
It's actually the one we got has the fast charger. It's a 22 kilowatt battery pack. Mm-hmm. That's up this year, although we're not sure what we're going to get next. I would like to go for the 40 kilowatt ones. They upgraded the battery pack. The motor is more efficient. One of the biggest pains, I think, in the Zoe is with the model we have is the dash. Is quite a light color. It's a light tan color. Reflects when in sunlight, it reflects in the windscreen, which is horrible.
Yeah.
So all the new models, because there are so many complaints about that, all the new models have black dashes now, so you don't see that.
In that case, I'm glad I've got the black dash and interior on my Leaf. That's coming then. So
yeah, it was just the angle of the screen on the Zoe and the way you sit and the fact that the light bounces back up onto the screen. It's like you're looking through a foggy windscreen. It's weird.
It does sound a bit weird, that does.
Yeah, we're not sure what we're going to do. But one thing I'm planning to do is go down to the Geneva Car Show, because I'd love, that's in, I think, next month. And there's going to be a lot of announcements, electric vehicle announcements. And it'd be nice to see all those cool-looking VWs.
What about the Jaguar I-Pace? That's going to be there as well, isn't it?
Oh, the I-Pace. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's true. And that the I-Pace could be quite interesting because they're pricing that a little bit less than the Model S. So that's going to be an interesting one to look at. The only thing is the difference between what all the other electric vehicle manufacturers and Tesla is that none of the others are providing infrastructure.
That is true.
Because in the price is affected, you get all that infrastructure with it. So there's no equivalent to the supercharging network, which I would miss if I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't. There's no option at the moment, at least, to charge other vehicles up on a Tesla supercharger.
Do you in the new cars now? You have to pay for the electricity in the Tesla supercharger there, don't you?
Yes, although it's not very much. But if you use my code, my referral code, you get free charging.
Oh, that's good. Well, worth bearing that in mind.
Sure, but there's but it's not very expensive.
Yeah, with regards charging and stuff like that, I mean, do you sort of have a sort of thing where you can charge up cheaper at night? Do you, or doesn't it make a lot of difference?
Yeah, I mean, after 8 p.m. here and before 7 a.m., it's on cheap rate. So I can set the timer in both of the cars to you know, if we plug it in at 5 when we get home, it won't start charging until after 8 o'clock. So you get the cheap rate electricity then.
That's good.
Another option, of course, is you could put solar panels up, or if you've got a wind turbine, you can make it even cheaper by charging up through that.
I was going to ask you, has any of your decision-making for getting an electric car been based upon the green planet issues? And are you interested in putting solar panels and green electric on your house too, so that you can burn less fossil fuel?
Yes, of course. That was one of the reasons I was looking into it, because I'm really... The last car I had was a Jeep Renegade diesel, and that was horrible. It was a really horrible car to drive. So getting from that into the Tesla was an absolute dream. Plus the fact it's really nice when you slow, when you're going down a hill, or if you're slowing down, you see the battery actually getting charged, whereas when you do the same with the diesel, there's no diesel going back in the tank. It's
that is true.
Yes, I think it's everybody should think seriously about how we treat the planet. This is a step in the right direction for sure. I rent the place where we live. There's plenty of space to put solar panels, but we'd have to get permission and obviously have to pay for it. So I haven't, it's not something I've done yet. One of my neighbors has, actually a few of my neighbors have solar panels here. It is something I'm looking into. There's a few portable options, which we could take with us if we moved from here. There's some really cool ones I've seen around. One is, looks like a flower.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, so it opens up like a flower and then follows the sun to as a charge.
That'd be kind of nice. I've seen the treehouse that you put in the garden for your daughter. That'd probably be big enough to put some panels on.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so I can imagine that after a while driving electric vehicles, you could easily become an enthusiast and an advocate for the experience. So have any of your friends and family taken the plunge after you've shown them what it's like to be in an electric vehicle?
No, I've tried. I do try. I've got a couple of friends. One of my friends actually called me up a couple of weeks ago, in fact, and said, Paul, is it possible that I can give your referral code to my dad? He's interested in getting a Tesla. I said, yeah, cool. Absolutely, of course. So, it's I always push it if I can. And I've got other people, family members who didn't believe in it until I took them out in mine. And they said, oh, wow, this is incredible. I've got a cousin in the UK. He's he works for a Jeep dealership, trying to persuade him. Oh, is it Jeep? No, he's Mercedes now, and trying to persuade him. But maybe I think some of the Mercedes electric vehicles, he might start telling us about those. I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I see that the Mercedes are coming out with a Sprinter that's going to be electric. And I think it's only going to be time, a short amount of time before they come up with a camper van. And that'd be nice.
Yeah. I'm looking out for, a couple of years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, Harley Davidson announced the Livewire project, which is an electric Harley. I've sat on one, I haven't ridden one yet, but I would love something like that, because I still have a Harley Davidson.
I was going to ask you about that, because they're big and they're ugly, and I mean, I'm a bit biased, I don't like the Harleys at all.
No, it's far from ugly. Mine is beautiful. So, but
apart from yours, of course.
But I'm interested to see what's happening in two-wheel world as well, to see what's going on. We've got...
Yeah, I've had a look at those Zero motorcycles, because they look quite interesting.
Yeah, next week is the Swiss Moto, which is a motorcycle exhibition in Zurich, where a lot of the manufacturers showing their new models. So I'm going to be going to that and have a look and see what they're... what electric bikes there are this year.
Sounds good. So you still have to make some visits to a petrol station then?
Yeah, usually get a sandwich.
But I mean, fill up your Harley.
Oh, fill up the Harley for sure, yeah. But yeah, electric cars very rarely now drive fit into an electric. There are in Holland, actually in Germany, Holland, and a couple in France where the electric chargers or the superchargers are actually near or close to a petrol station. There's one here actually in on the way to Zurich is actually in a co-op petrol station. There's a row of 8 superchargers right next to it.
Yeah. When you go to these superchargers, do you find that you meet up with other Tesla drivers quite often?
Yeah. It's I remember when I see one, he was from Czech Republic, and he was driving Model X, charging up in the one, actually the one I just mentioned, in near Zurich. Yeah, it's interesting. You get to see all sorts of people. They're driving all over the place with them.
What about Apple CarPlay? That's one question I was going to ask you. What about Apple CarPlay? You haven't got that in either of the vehicles. I mean, do you miss it, or would that be something that would influence you with another car?
I miss it. I miss not having what's in the Tesla in the Zoe, to be honest. Because the Tesla has, as I say, it has Spotify and it has TuneIn. Obviously, you have radio as well, and you can use your iPhone connected in as well to integrate. But that, for me, is plenty. And the Zoe, yeah, there's not so much. Although, if you put in your phone, you can connect your phone up to the car and use that.
So with the Tesla there, I mean, is it possible with the infotainment system that's there to be able to say, okay, send a message to, and you can do it by voice to send a message?
I do that with the phone. So the phone is hooked into the Tesla. It uses the internal hands-free, so the microphone and the audio comes through the Tesla, and then and the same for the Zoe, obviously. You can do that.
Well, that's not so bad, because when I try and do that with my Clio with the infotainment system there, it just makes a complete hash of it. I try to say I want to send a text message, and it tries to make a phone call.
Yeah, I use Siri, so I say, "Hey Siri, send a message," and it's just started. No.
Anyway, thanks anyway, Paul, and it's great that we've been able to catch up a wee bit. All right then. Bye, Paul. All right, thanks very much. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, take care of yourself, mate.
I will. Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to the EV20 Questions podcast. I enjoyed that little chat I had with Paul Shadwell in Switzerland. I think we learned a little bit about running a Renault Zoe and a Tesla Model S, and how to get along with driving and owning an electric vehicle. On the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to be talking to a guy from Jersey. His name is Mike Ward, and he's going to tell us all about his Nissan Leaf addiction.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.